Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Hi, everybody. This is Austin. I'm going to be reading some articles from the Arapaho County News this week. Centennial, Metro Muse. Cultural and entertainment offers abound this weekend and next week across Metro Aurora. A short list of cool things to do and see over the weekend and into next week. By the Centennial, March 7th, 2025. There are three ads on the page. First ad, Centennial Spring Forward. Win free lift tickets. Click to enter. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 to win. Drawings held on Thursdays through March 19th, 2025. Loveland Ski Area. There is a person snowboarding with mountains in the background. The second ad, Sharing the Love. Win free lift tickets. Click to enter. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 to win. Drawings held on Thursday, March 19th, 2025. Loveland Ski Area. There is a woman holding a heart standing in front of some mountains. The third ad, Mountain View Baptist Church. Repent and Believe, John 3:16. Be our guest this Sunday. Sunday service, 11 a.m., Century Elementary School, 2500 South Granby Way, Aurora, Colorado. On the second Saturday of every month, enjoy breakfast from a local food truck, watch aircraft fly in, and explore interactive exhibits and simulators. Pilots can fly in for free breakfast. There's a picture of a few different planes that are smaller sitting on a runway with a man walking in front of them. Aurora, dream about flying? Bring that wish closer to reality this week. Or maybe if your dream is evocative dance, there's a place where that can happen this weekend too. Here's the Centennial short list of reasons to get out this weekend and next week. Wing It for Breakfast. Fly fans are invited to join Wings Over the Rockies Exploration of Flight for its monthly fly-in featuring planes, pilots, speakers, and breakfast. On the second Saturday of every month, enjoy breakfast from a local food truck, watch aircraft fly-in, and explore interactive exhibits and simulators. Pilots can fly in for free breakfast. For tie-down space reservations, contact flight@wingsmuseum.org or 303-360-5360, extension 160. If you go, time 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. March 8th, the event is weather permitting. Location, Exploration of Flight Museum at Centennial Airport, 13005 Wings Way. Food truck, cruise in and eat. Tickets, $1 to $12.95. Details, wingsmuseum.org. Dreamcatchers, The Untold Stories of the Americas. An evocative and moving dance production, Dreamcatchers, The Untold Stories of the Americas, bring to life narratives that have been overlooked or forgotten. Through powerful telling stories, music, and dance, this production explores the resilience, struggles, and triumphs of Black and Indigenous communities throughout the history. If you go, public show, 7:30 p.m., March 8th, where? Parsons Theater, 1 East Memorial Parkway entrance. Tickets, $25 to $30 online at northglenarts.org or call the box office at 303-450-8888. Pig and Web. The Mizell Arts and Culture Center's Denver Children's Theater presents Charlotte's Web, offering both in-theater and in-school performances. School group performances will take place at the Mizell Arts Center and Culture Center. Based on the E.B. White's beloved story, Charlotte's Web, follows the friendship between Wilbur the Pig and Charlotte the Spider, celebrating kindness and sacrifice. As Wilbur faces the fate of the farm, Charlotte weaves her magic to save him, proving that love, friendship, and sacrifice can create the most miraculous changes. The play is suitable for kids ages 4 and up. If you go, date, 10 a.m., March 9th, and March 16th. Venue, Mizell Arts and Culture Center, 350 South Delia Street. Tickets, $13 to $16. Details, 303-399-2660 and jccdenver.org. Guys and Dolls, back from the past. Some of the most memorable favorites of the stage will run through March 23rd at the Vintage Theater in Aurora. Guys and Dolls and all the favorites, including Adelaide's Lament, I've Never Been in Love Before, If I Were a Belle, and Luck Be a Lady. And all the classic characters from the legendary Broadway musical are on tap. If you go, dates, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays through March 23rd, evening curtains at 7:30 p.m. and matinees at 2:30 p.m. Tickets, $20 to $39. Venue, Vintage Theater, 1468 Dayton Street. Details, vintagetheater.org and 303-856-7830. Barbecue Splendor, Fanfares and Flourishes. As part of Lakewood's Cultural Center Presents 25th Anniversary Season, the center offers a showcase with violinist Cynthia Miller, Free Vogel, and Catherine James Adosi on Barbecue Trumpet. The program includes Handel's Suite in D for trumpet and strings, Telemann's Don Quixote. If you go, date 7:30 p.m., March 2nd and 2 p.m., March 8th. Tickets $29 to $44. Details 303-987-7845 and lakewood.org/LCC Presents. Venue, the Lakewood Cultural Center, 470 South Allison Parkway. St. Patty's Day celebration at the Town Center Mall. The Luck and Pluck of the Irish is slated for the Aurora Town Center Mall just a day late, but not short of fun and festivities. The lower level court will set the stage for a variety of family-friendly shows and events, including Irish step dancers, crafts for the kids. Whether you're here for the dancing, the music, or just a good time with families and friends, there's something for everyone to enjoy, said the mall marketing manager Chelsea Thatcher. If you go, when? 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., March 15th. Where? Town Center at Aurora Mall, 14200 East Almeida Avenue. Tickets free and free beer from Helga's House during for adults. Details https://towncenteratAurora.com/. Mad Librarians Improv Show. No beige sweaters with this bookish cast. Quote, whenever this team of buttoned-up librarians hears about a fantastic new book, they go wild, end quote, Arapaho Library District officials said in a statement. Quote, in each show, buttons go flying as the Mad Librarians craft a new book title based on your suggestions, and then, right before your very eyes, they act, sing, and shout that book out full blast, end quote. Improv bookings, quote, come visit the library that can't keep ever quiet. No matter how hard, it's terribly serious and wonderfully silly librarians may try. Presented by Boulder Ensemble Theater Company, end quote. Suggested for kids of all ages, even old ones. If you go, when? 1 p.m. March 15th. Where? Smoky Hill Library, 5430 South Biscay Circle. Details, ArapahoLibraries.org. Tickets free. Reserve your spot. ARAP.LI/41IO B9C. Free day at the Denver Art Museum. Engage with art, explore on-site activities, and experience exhibitions on view, all while enjoying free general admission courtesy of an agreement with the Science and Cultural Facilities District. Includes extended hours on Tuesdays. General admission does not include entry to ticketed exhibitions. If you go, when? Starts at 10 a.m., March 11th. Where? Denver Art Museum, 100 West 14th Parkway. Details, www.denverartmuseum.org. Colorado Art on Friday. The Denver Art Society is displaying original artwork created by more than 150 Colorado artists and live music during its regular First Friday event in the Denver Arts District. If you go, when? 5 p.m. to 11 p.m., March 7th. Location, Denver Art Society, 734 Santa Fe Drive. Tickets, free. Details, 303-534-1132 or www.denverartsociety.org. Centennial Metro. Trump administration relocating Denver, six other SBA offices to non-sanctuary cities. Trump administration cracks down on cities with immigrant-friendly policies. By May Anderson, AP Business Writer, March 7, 2025. There are three ads on the page. First ad, Centennial Spring Forward. Win free lift tickets. Click to enter. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 to win. Drawings held on Thursdays through March 19th, 2025. Loveland Ski Area. There is a person snowboarding with mountains in the background. Second ad, Sharing the Love. Win free lift tickets. Click to enter. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 to win. Drawings held on Thursday through March 19th, 2025. Loveland Ski Area. There is a woman who is outdoors, holding her hands in the shape of a heart with mountains in the background. Third ad, Mountain View Baptist Church. Repent and believe John 3:16. Be our guest this Sunday. Sunday service, 11 a.m., Century Elementary School, 2500 South Granby Way, Aurora, Colorado. There is a painting of mountains with an orange sunset. Administrator of the Small Business Administration, Kelly Loeffler, arrives before President Donald Trump addresses a joint session of Congress at the Capitol in Washington, Tuesday, March 4th, 2025. Wynn McNamee /pool photo via AP. There is a picture of a woman standing smiling at the camera with other people in the background who are dressed formally. New York. The Small Business Administration said it will relocate six of its regional offices in so-called, quote, sanctuary cities, end quote, part of a broader Trump administration effort to crack down on cities that it deems have immigrant-friendly policies. In a statement Thursday, SBA Administrator Kelly Loeffler said offices in Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, Denver, New York City, and Seattle will be relocated to, quote, less costly, more accessible locations that better serve the small business community and comply with federal immigration law, end quote. No details were given about where the offices might be moving to. There's no legal definition for sanctuary city policies, but they generally limit cooperation by local law enforcement with federal immigration officers. Courts have repeatedly upheld the legality of sanctuary laws. The announcement came a day after Republican members of Congress hammered four Democratic mayors Wednesday about their so-called sanctuary city policies, accusing them of endangering Americans and threatening to prosecute local officials. The SBA was established in 1953 to offer resources to small businesses and help administer small business and disaster recovery loans. It played a crucial role during the pandemic, helping distribute small business aid. It has at least one district office in each state, and some larger states, like California and Texas, have several. Offices provide counseling, training, and other resources that provide support for small business owners. Separately, the Loeffler said the SBA loans won't be eligible to businesses that have owners, quote, in whole or in part, end quote, who aren't U.S. citizens. The SBA doesn't give out direct loans except when they're related to disasters, but it works with lenders to distribute loans to small businesses. The loans typically have better rates than traditional loans. The SBA did not respond to a request for comment for more details. An edition of the Littleton Independent, Centennial Citizen Independent, Volume 24, Issue 12, week of February 20th, 2025. Coffee shop with a mission. Mango Tree coming to Littleton will support child poverty fight by Nina Joss. njoss@coloradocommunitymedia.com. When Littleton's newest coffee shop opens its doors, it will provide more than just warm, caffeinated beverages to its visitors. With each purchase, it will also donate funds to support initiatives to end child poverty around the world. Mango Tree Coffee, which currently has a location on South Broadway in Inglewood, plans to open its second location at 5624 South Prince Street in Littleton in March. The coffee shop provides funding for MANA Worldwide, a Texas-based Christian nonprofit that works in more than 35 countries on initiatives related to nutrition, medicine, orphanages, education, clean water, and spiritual growth, according to its website. Mark Corona, one of the founders of Mango Tree Coffee, said he started the coffee shop in 2021 with a group of people connected to the nonprofit who wanted to be able to support the organization's mission in a new way. Quote, "Since Mango Tree in Inglewood opened, it's been awesome to see how it's been able to just kind of be part of the community there," end quote, he said. Quote, "It's our desire to continue to be able to do that for additional communities here in Denver, but then also having more locations allow us to have a bigger impact internationally as well and provide more programs for kids around the world that don't really have the same opportunities," end quote. The company donates 100% of its proceeds towards funding relief projects, according to its website. Corona said the organization recognizes that poverty can't be solved with a quick, easy fix like simply giving someone food. To make their efforts more sustainable, the organization works with local partners in communities around the world. Quote, "A lot of times, it's the community development piece, long-term, that really helps turn those communities around," end quote, he said. Quote, "We don't go into it with a mindset thinking, hey, we know what you need, but more so, hey, what can we do to help you guys develop your community?" End quote. In addition to coffee, which is roasted in small batches at the Englewood location, Mango Tree Coffee will offer light food options such as breakfast burritos and pastries, Corona said. He said the company has learned a lot from its first location in Englewood, largely the benefit of being surrounded by a vibrant business community. Quote, "Littleton is another one of those really awesome small town feels in the Denver area," end quote, Corona said. Quote, "We know it's a community that is supportive. We know that people are active and they support other local businesses. And we just all are kind of working towards the success of everyone collectively," end quote. The shop will take place of the Devil's Cup Coffee, which closed in November, according to an Instagram post from the company, which has since been deleted. Quote, "It is with heavy heart that we announce the permanent closure of Devil's Cup Coffee on Prince Street," end quote, the post said. Quote, "We are so grateful for the memories made here, and we will cherish the connections we've shared with so many of you," end quote. Corona said the fact that location was already a coffee shop is a benefit, since many people in the community are already familiar with going there for coffee. As Corona looks forward to the new location opening, he said he is excited to connect with more people in the community. Quote, "Our goal, locally, with Mango Tree, is to be a place for people to come together," end quote, he said. Quote, "We're just looking forward to getting to know everyone and trying to be the best that we can in that space and continue to keep it a vibrant community that's already there," end quote. There are two pictures at the top of the page. A building at 5624 South Prince Street in Littleton showcases the Mango Tree Coffee logo as the new coffee shop prepares to open in March. The picture is of a building that is all blue with big glass windows and the logo of Mango Tree Coffee on the front of it. The second picture, Stephen Delane, right, takes an order at Mango Tree Coffee in Inglewood. There's a picture of two people standing across from each other trying to take an order in the coffee shop. There's an ad at the bottom of the page. "We specialize in stunning, kitchen remodels in 5 days or less, 1 day tune-up, cabinet painting, refacing, redooring, custom cabinets, countertops. 303-721-1393 or kitchentuneup.com. 8061 BS Broadway, Littleton, Colorado 80122. Each franchise is locally owned and operated, starting as low as $99 to $249 a month. There is a before and after picture of a kitchen, where the before picture has brown cabinets and a white dishwasher, along with subtler countertops, and the after picture shows a vibrant white countertop with white cabinets and a stainless steel dishwasher. Everybody knows everybody. Eatery bids farewell. South Philly Cheesesteaks, sitting just outside Englewood limits, set to close February 21st by Elizabeth Slay. eSlay at coloradocommunitymedia.com. After serving up mouth-watering cheesesteaks for years, the Englewood's area-beloved hole-in-a-wall restaurant, South Philly Cheesesteaks, where, quote, everybody knows everybody, end quote, is closing its doors on February 21st. Owner Melanie Galinas invited all of her regulars and new customers to cross the threshold of her restaurant just one last time. Quote, unfortunately, just because of the economy and rent going up, property taxes going up, that all got passed on to us and we just can't keep going, end quote, Galinas said. Quote, I've known that we were kind of struggling for about a year, but it's just sad because so many other people I know in this community come here because once you're in this community, Englewood is such a small town. Everybody knows everybody, end quote. Originally from Englewood, Galena said she and her husband Michael took over South Philly Cheesesteaks, 1400 East Hamden Avenue, about 6 years ago. The business is barely outside the Englewood city limits in Cherry Hills Village. The couple met while attending Englewood High School, got married in Englewood, sent their children to Englewood schools, and Galinas also worked for Englewood schools for a period of time. Quote, I worked as an administrative assistant in the office, end quote, Galinas said. Quote, so we're just really connected to Englewood, end quote. After both Galinas and her husband worked at Englewood schools for a while, they decided to pursue another adventure. Quote, it just worked out that way, end quote, Galena said. Quote, once we were at the school for so long and our kids were grown and they went off to college, we decided, hey, let's start an adventure, end quote. So the couple bought South Philly Cheesesteaks and ran the business together for a while before Galena's took over. She has been running it herself for the last 6 years. For Galena's, one of the best aspects of running South Philly is the people. Quote, I love seeing friends and people, end quote, Galinas said. Quote, I know almost everybody coming in the door, end quote. As it draws closer to the restaurant's closing date, Galinas said she has been telling customers and they've expressed sadness to see the place go. Regular customer Lee Needham has said he's been coming to South Philly for the last 5 years and he loves the speedy service and great atmosphere. Quote, the owner is great, end quote, said Needham, adding that he will miss the cheesesteak the most. Quote, it's the best one of any of them around, end quote. Along with customers, employees of South Philly are also going to miss that place that has become like a second home to them. Galena said, like her customers, her employees are people she's known for years, including a former high school classmate of her son's and one of her closest friends who was a bridesmaid in her wedding. Sean Marley, who has been working for Galinas for the last 2 years, said he knew Galinas growing up, and when he really needed a job, Galinas was there to really help him out. Quote, I like our regulars we've got coming in, end quote, Marley said. Quote, we've got a lot of people who are really cheesesteak people that come in. Our people here are really good, end quote. Marley will miss the great location of South Philly, as it's close to his home and his daughter's school, but he will mostly miss serving the restaurant's food to people. Going forward, Galinas will take some time for herself, and then she said she's not sure of her plan, but she hopes to do a job during which she can be actively moving and work with children again. Galinas said she will miss seeing everyone she knows all the time and providing great food to people. Quote, I just want to thank everyone for being so supportive on this journey that Mike and I have been on, and we love you and we'll miss you all, Galinas said. There's an image at the top of the article. Melanie Galinas, owner of the Englewood area South Philly Cheesesteaks, makes one of her well-known and beloved sandwiches on February 8th. South Philly will serve its last cheesesteak on February 21st. The picture is of Melanie standing behind a grill making up a cheesesteak. There is an ad at the bottom of the page. Reverse mortgages made easy. Call me to schedule your free, confidential, in-home review of this unique product. Corbin Swift, Vice President, Reverse Mortgage Specialist. Cell number 720-812-2071 or corbin@rmofco.com. 6530 South Yosemite Street, number 310, Greenwood Village, Colorado, 80111. Quote, helping those in my community with their mortgage needs for over 36 years, end quote. There is a self-portrait of Corbin on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side there is orange and white mountains that are drawn up. House cats with bird flu could pose risk. Some pets died after drinking raw milk, Midnight Prowls, by Sarah Bowden, KFF Health News. There are five ads on the page. First ad, let the pros handle it. Leaf filter, gutter protection. Say no to cleaning out your gutters. And protect your home with leaf filter. 20% off your entire purchase, plus 10% off seniors and military. We offer financing that fits your budget. Promo code 285. Call today for a free inspection. 1-855-402-9138. There's a couple pictures within the ad that shows a person scraping leaves out of gutters and also installing gutters with a drill. Second ad. Be prepared for the next power outage. It's not just a generator, it's a power move. Receive a 5-year warranty with qualifying purchase, valued at $535. Call 866-977-2602 to schedule your free quote. Generac. There is a picture of a Generac generator with some bushes in the background. Third ad. Respiro Resources. Do you feel stressed, isolated, or worn out as a caregiver? Join us at the Mile High Caregiver Conference, April 26, 2025, 10 a.m., the Village Event Center. Early bird pricing through February, because caregivers need care too. 2025 mhcc.eventbrite.com. Fourth ad, the Denver Concert Band presents, I'll Have Seconds Please, Stephen Dombrowski, principal tubist of the Colorado Symphony Orchestra, Sunday, February 23rd, 2025, 2 p.m., Lone Tree Arts Center. Coming up next, Journey Through Time and Space. Use code DCBCCM25 for $2 off your ticket. Tickets at the door, online, or call 720-509-1000, LoneTreeArtsCenter.org. There is a picture of Stephen holding a tube. The fifth ad, Worship Guide. To advertise your place of worship in this section, call Aaron at 303-566-4074 or email eaddenbrook@coloradocommunitymedia.com. Castle Rock, Franktown, World Mission Church, Korean Church, 7249 East Park Drive, Franktown, Colorado. Time, 10:30 p.m. Phone, 303-688-1004. English translation, everyone is welcome. Greenwood Village, Congregation Beth Shalom, serving the southeast Denver area. Call or check out our website for more information on services and social events. www.cbsdenver.org. 303-505-9236. Parker, Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday services, 10 a.m., meditation before service, 9:30 a.m., Cameroon Middle School, 1213 Canterbury Parkway, Parker, Colorado, 80138, www.cslparker.org, 303-805-9890. Parker, Prairie, UU. Join us in respecting and honoring all lives and faith. 10:45 a.m. Sunday services. Check out our website for events and information. PrairieUU.org. Online. Mass for the Masses. Paul Noel Fiorno. Sing along, harmonize, learn DCHS All State Choir. There is one spot left where you can place your ad here and advertise your place of worship. More than 80 domestic cats, among many other types of mammals, have been confirmed to have had bird flu since 2022. Generally barn cats that lived on dairy farms, as well as feral cats and pets that spend time outdoors and likely caught it by hunting diseased rodents or wild birds. Now, a small but growing number of house cats have gotten sick from the H5N1, the bird flu strain driving the current U.S. outbreak, after eating raw food or drinking unpasteurized milk. Some of those cats died. The strain of bird flu currently circulating has not adapted to efficiently spread among people, and there have been no known cases of cat-to-human transmission during the current outbreak of H5N1. Still, there's always been that risk that cats, which are arguably only semi-domesticated, could bring home a disease from a midnight prowl. Quote, companion animals, and especially cats, are 100% a public health risk in terms of the risk of zoonotic transmission to people, end quote, said virologist Angela Rasmussen, who studies disease progression in emerging viruses at the University of Saskatchewan's Vaccine and Infectious Disease Organization. This is because we snuggle with and sleep in bed with our cats. When we're not looking, cats drink from our water glasses and walk on kitchen counters. So, cat owners should be aware of the ongoing spread of bird flu. Quote, by reducing the risk to your cats, you reduce the risk to yourself, end quote, Rasmussen said. Rasmussen doesn't think pet owners should be afraid their cats will give them the bird flu, but said taking precautions is good for pets and for public health. Signs of bird flu in cats include runny nose and discharge around the eyes, explained Michael Q. Bailey, president-elect of the American Veterinary Medical Association. H5N1 also causes neurological problems like dizziness and seizures, which are symptoms of rabies too. Rabies is almost always fatal, and it poses a threat to human health, so any animal suspected of having the viral disease must be euthanized. Bailey encourages people to ensure pets are up to date on their vaccinations. Veterinarian Jane Skies, who specializes in infectious diseases in cats and dogs at the University of California Davis School of Veterinary Medicine, said people should not assume it's bird flu if their cat is sick, even if their animal spends time outdoors or eats a raw diet. Upper respiratory illnesses are common in cats, while H5N1 is still pretty rare. Sykes gives her indoor cat, Freckles, regular kibble exclusively. She told NPR and KFF Health News she has no concerns about Freckles getting H5N1 because the heating process of making dry or canned pet food kills viruses. More cases in cats, more risk to humans. Some people feed their pets raw meat or unpasteurized milk because they think it's a more nutritious or natural diet. The American Veterinary Medical Association's website discourages this due to foodborne ill pathogens like Salmonella and Listeria, and now the highly pathogenic H5N1. Bird flu, from page 8. By keeping pets healthy, veterinarians play an essential role in protecting humans from zoonotic diseases. The American Veterinary Medical Association says the risks of H5N1 spilling over from a pet to a person is, quote, considered extremely low, but not zero, end quote, State and local public health agencies, including those in Los Angeles County and Washington State, have issued similar warnings against raw food diets for pets. Concerns for human health are partly why the FDA announced last month it is now requiring cat and dog food companies to update their safety plans to protect against bird flu. This came after the Oregon Department of Agriculture discovered a cat that was, quote, strictly an indoor cat, end quote, had contracted H5N1 and died after consuming a frozen turkey product made by the raw pet food brand Northwest Naturals. It stated that, quote, tests confirmed a genetic match between the virus in the raw and frozen pet food and the infected cat, end quote. Northwest Naturals voluntarily recalled that batch of its frozen turkey-based product. The company told KFF Health News and NPR that the recall involved a, quote, small product run, end quote, and that it has concerns about the accuracy of the Oregon Agriculture Department's testing. Los Angeles County Public Health Department said five cats from two households tested positive for bird flu after drinking unpasteurized raw milk from the Raw Farm Dairy in California's Central Valley. Raw Farm voluntarily recalled its milk and cream after retail products tested positive for H5N1, but it denies any food safety issues, calling the concern, quote, a political issue, end quote. Veterinarians also warn pet owners not to allow cats unsupervised time outside, as there is risk of them getting H5N1 by interacting with other animals that might carry the disease. Quote, this is a very scary virus, given that it can infect so many different host species, end quote, said Bruce Kornreich, director of Cornell University's Feline Health Center. At least one instance of a cat infecting a person with bird flu occurred in 2016. As NPR reported, a veterinarian in New York City caught the virus after having close contact with infected cats. The vet experienced mild symptoms and quickly recovered. In that case, the strain of bird flu was H7N2, not the H5N1 that is now circulating in the U.S. H7N2 is a very different type of virus, Sykes explained. But she said it shows that cat-to-human transmission of avian influenza is theoretically possible. There isn't a lot of research on transmission of bird flu from companion animals like cats or dogs to humans, though Rasmussen agreed that it's definitely a concern. The more infections you have in animals, quote, the more your luck is potentially going to run out, end quote. Most people who have caught H5N1 are agriculture workers who had direct contact with infected poultry or cattle. Of at least 67 confirmed human cases of H5N1 in the U.S., there's been one fatality in an immune-compromised person who had contact with birds. In general, zoonotic disease researchers want more H5N1 surveillance in companion animals of all types. Even if the human death toll of H5N1 remains relatively low, it remains a public health risk. Chances for mutation. Part of the concern with this H5N1 outbreak is that bird flu viruses change. Just a few mutations could make the strain adept at spreading between people. And the more people who catch H5N1, the more likely it would adapt to be more efficient, said Cherise Kujupi, a virologist at the University of Pittsburgh School of Public Health, where he researches zoonotic diseases. Kujupi had studied H5N1 in cats. Another concern is something called reassortment. If an animal or person is infected with two viruses at once, the viruses can trade genetic material, creating something new. This is common in influenza, so virologists are on the lookout for a case in which the bird flu reassorts to make a virus that far more contagious and potentially more virulent. Virologist Rasmussen is way more worried about this happening in pigs. Human respiratory physiology is more like that of swines than felines. So far, the current outbreak of H5N1 has not reached commercial hog operations. Rasmussen hopes it stays that way. Kudupidi says that reassortments are relatively rare events, but the outcome is completely unpredictable. Sometimes the results are benign, though it was likely a reassortment that involved an avian virus that led to the 1918 flu pandemic, which killed an estimated 50 million people. In the century since, virologists have established a global surveillance network to monitor influenza viruses. Scientists say continued investment in this network is key to preparing for and hopefully preventing another pandemic. Winter is reassortment season because of all the influenza viruses circulating, Rasmussen said. A reassortment in cats could technically be possible since these pets occasionally get seasonal flu, but it's highly unlikely. Rather, Rasmussen said, it's more likely that a cat would pass H5N1 to a human who already has seasonal flu, and then a reassortment happens in the sick person. While the risk isn't zero, Rasmussen doubts this will happen. It would depend on how ill the human was and how much virus they're exposed to from their cat. Quote, unless the cat is really shedding a ton of virus and you're kind of making out with the cat, I think it would be hard, end quote, she said. Rasmussen and Kadupi caution there isn't enough research to know for sure how much virus cats shed or even how they shed the virus. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention was poised to release a new study about H5N1 in cats, but that was delayed when the Trump administration paused the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly report. That investigation, revealed through emails obtained by KFF Health News in a public records request, found that house cats likely got bird flu from dairy workers. Scientists and public health agencies should question previously held assumptions about the bird flu, Kadupi urged. He noted that 20 years ago, nobody would have predicted that bird flu would infect dairy cattle the way it is now. Dogs seem to fare better. The FDA says other domesticated animals, including dogs, can get bird flu infections. There are no confirmed cases of H5N1 among dogs in the U.S., though in other countries they have died from the virus. There's some disagreement and overall lack of research on whether cat biology makes them more susceptible to H5N1 than other mammals, including humans, pigs, or dogs. But cat behaviors, such as their love of dairy and predation of wild birds, put them at higher risk, Kabupi said. Also, living in groups might play a role, as there are more feral cat colonies in the U.S. than packs of stray dogs. There's very little people can do about H5N1 circulating in wild birds, as Rasmussen explained. Quote, it's flying around in the skies. It's migrating north and south with the seasons, end quote. But she said there's a lot of people can do to keep the virus out of their homes. That includes limiting a pet exposure to H5N1 by not feeding them raw food or unpasteurized milk and trying to keep them from interacting with animals like rodents and wild birds that could be infected with the virus. KFF Health News is a national newsroom that produces in-depth journalism about health issues and is one of the core operating programs at KFF, an independent source of health policy research, polling, and journalism. There's a picture at the top of the article. Cats are at a high risk of transmitting bird flu to humans because owners snuggle with and sleep with cats. When we're not looking, cats drink from our water glasses and walk on kitchen counters. The picture is of a person petting a brown cat rubbing its face against their hand. Littleton Independent, Volume 136, Issue 28, Week of February 13th, 2025. RTD adds Detective Bureau for Safety by Monty Wally, M. Wally at coloradocommunitymedia.com. There is one ad on the page. See yourself on stage, theater education at the DCPA. Pre-K to adult, no expense required, one-day workshops, multi-week courses, daytime, evening, and weekend classes. Denver Center for the Performing Arts. Sponsored by UC Health. Enroll today with a QR code. denvercenter.org/education. There is a picture of a man laying in a woman's lap as she looks off into the distance. The Regional Transportation District will now investigate all crime that happens on the agency's property through a newly created and fully functioning detective bureau. The in-house detective bureau will enable RTD to directly perform investigations on thefts and any other criminal activity that may occur on its property. Quote, anything that affects the ability of our customers to ride the system safely, end quote, said Brian Cousineau, the agency's RTD PD commander, who will lead the Detective Bureau. Quote, we want people to utilize our services and feel safe doing so. Cousineau said in a news release that the new bureau will help RTD pursue prosecuting personal crimes involving any threat or use of force and includes felony-level narcotic violations across the agency's system or property. As the bureau works out protocols for working with the 8 counties in the agency's district, the department will be able to file its own cases and carry out investigations on related cases that occur in different municipalities. As an example, Cousineau pointed to last year's copper wire thefts from RTD tracks. Quote, if a copper wire theft happens in Aurora on our property and the wire was valued at $900, that's a misdemeanor crime. We would hand it over to the Aurora Police Department, Cousineau said. Quote, let's say the same $900 copper wire theft happened a week later in Thornton and then a week later at Lakewood. The benefit of having our own detective bureau is that we can assign our detectives to all those cases. This changes the crime from being a misdemeanor to a felony-level crime, end quote. The RTD PD had aimed to establish a fully functioning detective bureau to file criminal cases in jurisdictions throughout its service area prior to the copper wire thefts in 2024. The thefts, quote, were definitely a catalyst for us to get the bureau established more quickly, end quote, Cousineau said. Cousineau anticipates the RTD-PD Detective Bureau will be fully operational by the end of the second quarter in 2025, according to the news release. Quote, one of the biggest lifts that we have to get is with all 8 counties to file cases to each other of their expectations. This will also include establishing secure systems for e-filing and setting up protocols for writing probable cause affidavits, end quote. On January 6th, the RTD-PD internally promoted transit police officers Fabian Rodriguez to Detective Lieutenant and Brian Beery to Detective on its force, according to the news article. Rodriguez has served an officer for 27 years, with most of his career at the Adams County Sheriff's Office, where he supervised general investigations in the North Metro Drug Task Force. Rodriguez's career includes working with federal organizations such as the Federal Bureau of Investigations, Homeland Security Investigations, and the Drug Enforcement Agency. Beery has served in law enforcement for 18 years. Prior to joining RTD-PD, he was a criminal investigator for the Colorado Department of Revenue for 6 years, the news release states. A third detective, Craig Tangman, joined the force on January 21st. Tangman has worked in law enforcement for over 26 years, with 19 years dedicated to investigative operations for Arapahoe County Sheriff's Office. He has conducted federal and state investigations and managed over 200 police officers, federal agents, and volunteers as part of proactive investigative operations, the news release states. Tangman is experienced in conducting major case investigations, having been assigned to the Metro Gang Task Force, the Safe Streets Fugitive Unit, and the Child Exploitation and Human Trafficking Task Force. Cousineau, who has worked for RTD-PD for almost 2 years, according to RTD, in Cousineau's 28 years working in law enforcement, 14 have been dedicated to supervisory and investigative functions, including working on narcotics task forces, supervising detectives, and overseeing investigations ranging from high-level misdemeanors to homicide crimes and internal affairs. The agency is budgeted to add 2 more detectives to the department later in 2025, RTD says. The RTD-PD is also in the process of developing an evidence room to follow the proper chain of custody to hold evidence needed to prosecute cases. Once established, this will mitigate reliance on other police agencies to retain evidence needed to prosecute criminal activity that occurred on RTD property. The agency states in the news release that RTD-PD have taken deliberate strides to grow the force to better support community and employee safety as part of the agency's, quote, welcoming transit environment, end quote, strategic initiative. The RTD-PD force stands at approximately 90 officers today and began the year with recruits in the police academy. The agency is budgeted for 150 sworn officers in 2025, a significant growth from when the department had 19 officers on the force in August 2019, the news release states. There's one picture with the article. RTD announced it's expanding its police force to include detectives who investigate crimes across the system's routes and stations. The picture is of two police cars that are currently parked with their lights on. Englewood green lights pedestrian bridge. Construction over Oxford scheduled to begin in May, by Elizabeth Slay. eSlay at coloradocommunitymedia.com. There's one ad at the bottom of the page. We specialize in stunning kitchen remodels in 5 days or less. One-day tune-up, cabinet painting, refacing, redoring, custom cabinets, countertops. 303-721-1393. KitchenTuneUp.com. 8061 South Broadway, Littleton, Colorado, 80122. Starting as low as $99 to $249 a month. There is two images along with the ad, a before and after picture of a kitchen, the before picture showing brown cabinets and a white dishwasher with plain gray countertops. The new picture shows white countertops, white cabinets, stainless steel appliances, and bright, vibrant lighting. Englewood City Council has approved a contract with Jalisco International Inc. to complete the construction of the Oxford Pedestrian Bridge. The council approved the contract during its regular meeting on February 3rd. The contract is in the amount of $2,243,966 for construction of the bridge, plus a 10% contingency allowance if needed for issues that could arise. Construction is scheduled to begin in May. The contract was approved with a 6-0 vote. At-large council member Tena Prong was absent from the meeting. Though it passed unanimously, council members did show some concerns, such as accessibility for all pedestrians and legitimate access for wheelchair users or those who use a walker or cane. Quote, "Those that are in wheelchairs, walkers, we're still making it too difficult for them. So I will be supporting this with the expectation that we will make it easier for everyone to cross on this bridge," end quote, Mayor Othoniel Sierra said. Tim Hoos, Deputy Director of Engineering for Englewood, said the ramp to the bridge is accessible and ADA compliant, but the bridge is a, quote, "bit of a climb," end quote. The North-South Pedestrian Bridge will cross over Oxford Avenue and will be located just west of Navajo Street and Windmere Street. Quote, "It's not the most optimal access point for sure, but for now, that's the best way we can get into the bridge," end quote, who said. Construction is expected to be completed later this year or in early 2026. The bridge is, quote, "part of a larger initiative to improve urban mobility in Englewood," end quote, said Victor Rochelle, Englewood's Director of Public Works. Quote, "This bridge will not only provide a safer route for pedestrians, but also help with alleviate traffic congestion and integrate into future transportation plans designed to make the city more accessible and sustainable," end quote, Rochelle said. Additionally, Rochelle said the purpose of the bridge is to provide a safe and efficient way to access key transit points, as it is strategically placed to grant access to a quicker and safer path for those making their way to Oxford Light Rail Station. Quote, "By creating an elevated path for pedestrians, the bridge will help reduce congestion on Oxford Avenue, particularly during peak traffic hours when vehicles often trigger red lights that slow the flow of traffic," end quote, Rochelle said. The bridge is part of a larger project the city is working on, which includes the rail trail, a pedestrian and cyclist-friendly corridor that will run along the Santa Fe rail line. Quote, "The rail trail is designed to provide a fast, efficient route for non-motorized travel, allowing residents and commuters to navigate the city without relying on cars," end quote, Rochelle said. Quote, "This integration between the pedestrian bridge and the rail trail will offer an uninterrupted route for those looking to walk or bike around the city, fostering a healthier and more sustainable transportation culture," end quote. Funding for the Oxford Pedestrian Bridge comes from a federal grant the city received, which covers 80% of the project cost. Rochelle explained that the remaining 20% will be covered by the city and supplemented by funds from a development agreement in relation to the redevelopment of the former Sam's Automotive site at Oxford Avenue and Navajo Street. Rochelle adds that the new bridge will encourage people to walk, cycle, or use public transportation. Quote, "By making it easier for people to choose active transportation options, the city hopes to foster a healthier lifestyle for its residents while also boosting RTD ridership," end quote, Rochelle said. For more information, visit https://www.engaged.englewoodco.gov/oxford-av. There's a picture at the top of the article, a rendering of what the Oxford Pedestrian Bridge will look like once completed. Construction is expected to begin in the spring. Overview is the drawing of the bridge and how it will look.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.